thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, I want to speak this morning on the dignity of the divine. I know it's Palm Sunday and it's the triumphal entry and all of that. And, you know, I had spent so much time trying to prepare a sermon on the triumphal entry. And it near drove me round the bend, to be absolutely honest with you, until I came to this place where I understood that God wanted to say something else, something slightly different. And so the title this morning is The Dignity of the Divine, not completely divorced from the triumphal entry, of course, because Jesus is King and he walks through this world in the most sovereign and serene way. And we're going to look at that this morning. You know, one of the qualities that I appreciate most about Jesus in the Gospels is the way that he walks through life unflustered and unhindered. Is that how you're walking through life at the moment? Jesus is never too late. He's never too early. He's always right on cue, in the right place, at the right time, every time. This might seem such an ordinary quality to highlight compared to the spectacular miracles and power encounters we read about in the Gospels. There's something about the dignity of the divine that we need to see in these days, that we need to appreciate and imitate in these troubled times. The composure and the command of Christ in every situation was rooted and grounded in who he was and in his intimate relationship with his Father. From storms to solitude, from lepers to loaves and fishes, from the demonized to the destitute, from the tenderness of his touch to his betrayal and the brutality that followed, we recognize the sure and steady march of the majesty in every step, all the way to Calvary and beyond. And we have to be honest, and I have to be honest, and say, I'm not just quite like that. As pressure mounts, the cracks in our character begin to widen to near breaking point. Our frailties and our fears are exposed. And just like Peter, we discover that the faith we had to step out of the boat isn't enough to keep us afloat in the storm unless we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that is exactly what God's word says that we should do in every season of life. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Ponder him. Think on him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, of your faith, of my faith. The word author here primarily signifies one who takes the lead, the one who initiates, the one who is always first. Maybe in your translation of the Bible, it will say the captain. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who is leading, making the decisions, writing the stories. So in that sense, Jesus is the one who writes the script of our lives. He's the one who broke into the sad tale of our lives and initiated a new story of faith. It was Shakespeare that said, wasn't all the world's a stage? And all the men and women merely players. Oscar Wilde put his own spin on this phrase when he said, "The world is a stage and the play is badly cast." Well, we can see that the play is, in some ways, we may say, badly cast as we look out upon our world at this time. And as we live out our lives in the midst of these testing times, we need to ask ourselves the question, who's writing our script? Who's the author of our story? Who's putting the words into our mouths? Who's initiating our thoughts, attitudes, and actions at this time? We need to know that. We need to know the answer to that. We need to be aware, because we need to guard our hearts in these days. The Bible says that we need to be renewed in our thinking, renewed and transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to let Jesus write the script. The amazing thing is that God has written us, you and me, into his story. We're not just playing a bit part. We have a part to play in God's story. That's amazing to me. And when we think about the genealogy of Jesus and all the names that we see there, and sometimes we just skip over it quickly because we think, well, what? It's just all a big long list of names. But within the genealogy of Jesus, we see the harlot, Rahab, the prostitute. We see Ruth, the outcast, the one who was outside, who was brought in. And here is a thing about Jesus' family of the past. It tells the story of Jesus' family of the future. And he's written your name into his family. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But here's the thing about the church. The church has been written off in every generation. But the church will never be history. Never. The church will never be history in the sense that it's past its sell-by date. The church of Jesus Christ is his story. In every generation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, will not overcome it. The church of Jesus Christ is his story. So, what's the story today, folks? Someone has said we may be the only book that some people will ever read. So as people look at us today, what is the story? What are they reading? What are they seeing? What's the narrative being outplayed before them? Following the Savior means following the script. It means following the word. The story of our time will be written large in history. 24/7 news networks blasting out all the time. But nevertheless, this will be a time written large in history. And we as the church, as the people of God, need to rise up in these days and play our part. Daniel 11:32 says this, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Whew, no pressure then. We'll carry out great exploits. To be absolutely honest, at this moment in time, I just think breathing is a great exploit. I don't know about you, but God is calling us to greater things than breathing. The people who know their God, they shall be strong. They shall carry out great exploits. But before we go rushing in where angels fear to tread, let's make sure we've responded first and foremost to the invitation of Jesus when he says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is an invitation to live in the unforced rhythms of grace. In these uncertain and testing times, when the natural rhythm of life has been suddenly and drastically interrupted, may God give us all the grace to come to Jesus, to receive him afresh and anew, to rest in him, to walk with him, and learn to live in the unforced rhythms of his grace. I love the Message transliteration of those verses. It says this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Folks, is that the script that we are following in these testing and trying times? We must learn to rest, but we must also learn to wrestle. So how does that correspond with resting? Aren't we either to wrestle or rest? No, there is a rhythm in Christ and in his life where we see him resting. We see him saying to his disciples, come apart and rest a while. And yeah, we do need to come apart before we fall apart. Jesus says, come apart, guys, and let's rest a while. But we also see Jesus wrestling in prayer. We must not be like Jonah in these days, who was asleep in the storm. And the pagan sailors had to come and rebuke him. In Jonah 1, 5 and 6, it says this: all the sailors were afraid. They were in the midst of a storm. The ship was going down, and each cried out to his own God. That's what we're seeing even today. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down and fell into a deep sleep. We might say, what incredible faith. No, not incredible faith. Incredible disobedience, hard-heartedness, a disengagement, what was going on around him. And the captain went to him and said to this prophet, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we'll not perish. Is the church rebuking or being rebuked in these days? We hear so much about God's judgment, and this virus is God's judgment. Folks, I'm not sure if it's God's judgment or no. How can we know? We know that the world is already judged, and those who do not believe are already under the condemnation of unbelief. So we don't know. But we do know this, that God has called us to be good news in a bad news time. And then we have Jacob. Jacob, who wrestled with God all through the night, and God said to him, let me go. And Jacob said, no, I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to lay hold on you, and I will not let you go until you bless me. Folks, that is the Spirit of Christ within us, prompting us, calling us to deep intercessory prayer at this time. Yes, we need to rest, But yes, we also need to wrestle. And then there's Jesus, always doing the things he sees the Father doing, doing the will of the Father, even in Gethsemane, as his disciples slept out of sheer exhaustion and sorrow, he prayed. Luke 22:41, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground, all for the joy that was set before him. Folks, in these times, in these testing times, in these times when we've been blown off course, the natural parameters that we set our lives to, the tram lines, they've all been dug up, they're gone. What is the touchstone? Where is the reference points in our lives? And it's taken us some time to find those reference points once again, perhaps. And maybe we're just starting to catch our breath again. And maybe we're just starting to begin to plot a course ahead again after being so disorientated in the midst of this storm. But God's word says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the initiator. He's the one who is writing the story. I love this hymn. Let me quote a couple of verses from it for you. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heats of our desires thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind, and fire. O still, small voice of calm. This world, more than ever, needs to see the dignity of the divine and the march of majesty. They need to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. And the world needs to see Jesus in us and through us. Folks, I know that's a tall order. But as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 5, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. The dignity of the divine. This world will see a church in these days rising in the power of the Holy Spirit. This world will see a church that is real, dynamic, powerful, compassionate, merciful, reaching out, bold, confident, as we keep our eyes on Jesus. So folks, as we come and as we pass over to Mark in a moment, as he's going to lead us in prayer, let's think about this song that we're going to be singing. It says, Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You are the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.